Talk to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 62.
Hello.
Hello.
I've got the boys with me here tonight.
Hello.
Yep.
How's it going, Henry and William?
Good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, we're recording this on the last week of summer vacation. Any thoughts about that?
I am really excited for school to start because I feel like when I was really little, I would like love summer in town, and then when school starts, I'd be like, oh man, school's starting. And then eventually I would love summer a lot, but still be kind of excited for school to start. And now I love summer until the last couple of days of August, when I just get like super duper stir crazy and I'm not doing anything. And that's when I'm like really excited for school to start.
Is that where you're at right now? Just super stir crazy?
Here's most people's reactions to this time. Here's my reaction. Yay, because I'm going into middle school.
And you're excited about starting middle school?
Yeah.
Why are you excited about starting middle school?
You have more freedom.
More freedom? You get to move from class to class?
Yeah, too.
You went to like a middle school open house or something the other day, right?
Yeah, it's called flight school because there are no some Nighthawks. So. Yeah.
What's weird is, and this happened to me in sixth grade too, and I don't know if this is normal or not, but when I got out of sixth grade and seventh grade, I didn't really feel like super excited. I was just like, oh, I am not in sixth grade anymore. Summer has started, huh? Like, I didn't feel bad or good. I was just okay.
So next year, you guys are going to be going to the same school. You both will be in middle school. Last year, we had a kid in elementary school, a kid in middle school, a kid in high school, and a kid in college.
Yeah.
This year, we're just going to have middle school, high school, and college. Are you guys excited about going to the same school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just kind of weird, though, because it's like I wasn't like necessarily excited when school ended, but I'm super excited when school started.
It's also weird for me because it's weird to think about William going to high school next year.
I don't know, yeah. Henry, I have a question. Do you think that will...
It's weird for me to think about, too. William in high school.
Do you think that we'll be in the same seats on the bus? Or do you think that we should be with our friends?
Yeah, I want to know that. Are you guys going to sit next to each other on the bus, or are you going to sit with your friends?
Maybe, like, with our friends across the aisle from each other.
Or in front of each other or in back of each other?
Yeah, I guess. That would make sense.
Yeah, you guys both ride the bus because your middle school is kind of a little ways away.
Yeah.
You're like the furthest away neighborhood in the middle school, I think, because of the weird way they zoned our middle school. What exactly are you excited about, Henry? Like, what about middle school besides going from class to class? Is there anything else you're excited about?
Lockers, I guess. I have a top locker, though.
Are you going to be able to reach your top locker?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I can reach it if I stand on my toes. And yeah. Or no, I can still reach it. It's just if I stand on my toes and see the very top numbers.
Oh, okay.
Other than that, I can see like side and bottom numbers.
But you can get everything in and out of it?
Yeah. I never actually opened my locker at the open house thing. I actually had to ask for help.
Do the lockers have the combination lock built into them, or do they have like you have to bring your own combination lock?
They're built into them, but the twist ones.
Yeah. Do you know how to do a combination lock? Did you practice it?
Yes, I did, but it was a bit stuck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that something, William, did you have to practice it when you first got lockers?
Okay, in sixth grade, my locker was the easiest combo ever. It was 24, 26, 24.
Oh, that
and
is
now,
pretty easy.
And now mine's...
There's only two numbers.
Yeah.
Mine's...
I might have to bleep that out so that people who are listening to the podcast won't come steal stuff out of your locker. Is it funny how, like, quickly you memorize your locker combination and then like never forget it?
Yeah, I actually in seventh grade I had...
Do you remember all your combinations?
So in seventh grade I had two different lockers, one for tennis and one for school. And for like the first semester about, like the majority of it, I was just like never really locking my gym locker because I figured it wasn't really that big of a deal and nobody would steal from it. Mm-hmm. And then later, it, like, kept on just, like, randomly locking up. I had to ask the coach for my locker combo. So finally, I was like, you know what? I can't do this, like, more than two times. I'm gonna figure out my locker combo. And it was really easy.
Yeah.
What's your locker locker combo.
I'm pretty sure my seventh grade tennis locker combo?
I don't see why not.
14-48-40, I think. Although sometimes I mess up and like do my school locker.
14-48-40 has a lot of fours in it.
Yeah. No, it actually doesn't have that many fours. It has a lot of Qs.
I remember my school locker ended with 38.
Qs? Yeah. A lot of Qs.
I don't know what you mean by that.
14-48-40 has a lot of Qs.
Qs, like the letter Q?
I'm pretty sure my school locker ended with 38, and I think there was like one four in that too. So sometimes I would do my gym locker combo on my school locker or vice versa, and then I'd be like, wait, what the heck? What's going on?
So you get lockers and you get to switch classes. Anything else you're looking forward to in middle school, Henry?
Just a lot of freedom.
You're going to be in band. You'll be the only kid in our family that's going into band and not orchestra.
Betrayal. What do you think about that? Yeah, that's what I think about it. Betrayal.
Do you think that your siblings think it's a betrayal? Like you're stabbing them in the back?
A bit. I'm not stabbing you in the back. But
what instrument are you going to play?
Trombone. Yes, I can make it drop like that. Yeah. And actually play it.
That was the one thing we were excited about is you can play the wah, wah, wah on your trombone and we can use it as a drop on the podcast. So that's exciting. So the other thing that's exciting about next week besides school starting is there's going to be a solar eclipse.
Yes.
Do you guys know when the last solar eclipse was?
Like 100 years ago?
Yes, when I was a kid.
Oh. Oh, you're living through two.
Oh, 100 years ago. The last solar eclipse was 1979.
Was it a total solar eclipse?
So I was 8 years old. I don't think it was a total eclipse where I was, and I remember learning about it and getting excited about it, but I think where I was, it was totally cloudy and you couldn't see it. Bummer, huh? So I don't think we saw it. And, you know, it's been really cloudy here lately, so I don't know if we're going to be able to see it or not. I'm a little bit worried about that.
I'm worried about two things. It being cloudy, and I really hope that the school lets us see the solar eclipse.
They're going to. They said that at flight school.
Really?
Yes. They're going to provide solar eclipse glasses.
I don't have any solar eclipse glasses. I wonder if it's too late to get some.
I don't know if they might be sold out.
Mom just came home.
So,
hey, Mom.
I know this, okay? So one of the PTA parents actually donated enough solar eclipse glasses for the entire school.
Oh, that is awesome.
And
oh, man.
And all of the science teachers and other teachers will be working the solar eclipse into their curriculum for the first week of school. So you will get to go outside with your solar eclipse glasses and see that on the first day.
That's really cool. Maybe I'll come steal your solar eclipse glasses so that I can have solar eclipse glasses. Because I don't have any, and I don't know where you get them. I don't know if, like, you can just go to Walmart and buy some. Probably not.
You could just order
some. They might have some on Amazon, although a lot of people were saying that the ones you get on Amazon were, like, faulty, and Amazon was having to recall them because they weren't actual solar eclipse glasses, and if you looked at them, you might blind yourself. Not good.
You could just, like, cover your eyes and just take, like, 50 different pictures with your phone, just, like, waving it everywhere.
There's another way to do it, and I would have to look this up online, but there's a way to do it with like a pinhole thing where you make a pinhole in a board.
Oh, yeah.
And look at it through a pinhole.
It's like you have to use two sheets of paper, right?
I don't know. I have to look it up. I've got some interesting facts. Well, I've got two lists here that have to do with the eclipse. One is the first one is seven weird things that happen during a total eclipses. And I thought this was an interesting list. Some of it, I don't quite understand what it means. But
wait, is number one...
Anyway.
Is number one going to be if they walk among us?
Pretty much.
Did I say among us? I meant
first
among us.
One, this is from WYFF NBC4 in Greenville, South Carolina. Someone on a local news station in South Carolina came up with this list. So I don't know how completely reliable it is, but I'm going to read it anyway. It says that during a solar eclipse, there are shadow lines that move across the ground. I don't know what this means. Do you guys know what this means? This is the one on the list that I don't know what it means. But apparently there's weird shadow lines that appear during a solar eclipse, during a, so look for weird shadows, I guess. Some experts say, according to this article, some experts say shadow lines are impossible to photograph. I also don't know what that means. Is there anything that's impossible to photograph? Maybe you just have to have a really good camera?
I mean, Phoebe tried to take a picture of a blood moon during a lunar eclipse. And it was
yeah,
like
a lot
this.
Of stuff. You just have to have a really good camera because a lot of cameras don't work really well in low light. Like phone cameras are pretty notorious for being able, taking terrible pictures when you don't have good light.
Yeah, Phoebe ended up with this like tiny, tiny smudge.
Yeah. All right, number two, it says, during the partial phase, a minute or two and before and after the eclipse, when the sun looks like a crescent moon, the colors in the landscape will appear saturated and contrast is boosted. Shadows cast through leafy trees, sometimes called anti-shadows, will appear to be hundreds of tiny crescent-shaped shadows because the gaps between the leaves act like pinhole cameras. So everything will look super contrast and super saturated, so the colors will look
contrast?
Really interesting and strange. So contrast means like the difference between light and shadow becomes bigger. So like a picture that has high contrast, like the brights are really bright and the darks are really dark. So during the eclipse, look around and like the colors will look different and things will look really like really colorful right before the eclipse. And like there's a lot of lights and a lot of darks. That's interesting. Number three, during the total eclipse, when it's safe to look at the eclipse with the naked eye, experts say you can expect to see jets of ribbon of light and ribbons of light in the corona. Now, we won't see this because we're not going to be where the total eclipse is. To see the corona, you have to be where the total eclipse is. And it's going to kind of go. It's like, so you see, that's where you totally see like the black disk, and then you see like rays of the sun coming out from the black disk.
Whoa.
We won't see that because where we are, it's just a partial eclipse, and we're not going to drive a day up into Missouri to see where the total eclipse is. I was talking to your aunt who lives in Colorado, and they're thinking about driving up into Nebraska or Wyoming to see the total eclipse maybe, but they would have to drive like 4 hours away to see it, but they're thinking about doing it. I think they should. It's like way further for us. It'd be like 10 hours for us, so we're not going to do it. But if it was only like 3 or 4 hours away, I'd be really tempted.
Yeah.
So we won't see the corona. I'm sure we'll see lots of pictures of it on the internet and on TV and stuff. Number four, this one's really interesting. Wildlife experts say birds return to roost and fall silent. Cicadas may stop singing and crickets may sing their night songs. Mosquitoes may come out and bite during moments when the sky darkens. A Victorian era scientist noted during an eclipse that ants were busily carrying their burdens, stopped and remained motionless until the lights reappeared. So animals can act kind of strangely. And number five is like that. It says animals can become confused and nocturnal animals may awaken and become active. Bats may take flight. A journal article published by the American Academy of Arts and Sciences reported that captive squirrels became agitated, butterflies disappeared, turtles hid, chickens huddled together, and cows were unconcerned.
Of course.
I like that. Like, lots of animals act strangely, but the cows just were unconcerned. They just
that's cows for
stood
you.
Stood there chewing their cud.
Sounds like a Far Side comic.
It does, true. And also, cows don't really care about anything. In fact, the farts actually cause global warming, so they don't care about global warming.
I'm not sure if that's related.
I wonder if Maisie will be unconcerned.
Maisie
came up to say hi to me. I'm petting her right now.
I don't know. Maisie could bark at the eclipse.
She might. I could see her getting agitated, actually. Like, this is weird. I don't know what's going on.
I could see her being scared.
Yeah. Number six, solar-powered equipment will take a brief hit. The solar-sensitive equipment set to come on at dusk may turn on. So, like, if you have... You know how, like, a lot of people have lights, like solar lights that lead up to their doorway and they come on at night? So those lights might come on, or like lights that come out, like street lights that come on when it gets dark. Those might suddenly light up. And then this one's really interesting. Number seven, during a total eclipse, stars will be visible, as will the planets Venus, Mercury, Mars, and Jupiter.
This all makes
sense. That would be pretty cool to be able to see stars in the middle of the day.
Okay, that would be really cool. But we only have like a... Like
we've only got a partial eclipse, so a lot of that won't happen
like
for us.
It's 70%. So would we see stars?
I don't know. Probably not. Maybe like a really bright planet.
Or maybe like we could only see, like, you know, sometimes you're looking in the night sky, there's like certain star clusters they can only see out of the corner of your eye.
Maybe we'll see the moon.
No.
Do you know, I was reading another article, not one of the ones that I printed off to talk about, but they were talking about how, like, the Earth is the only planet on the solar system where you can see a solar eclipse. Because if you think about it, so, like, Mercury and Venus don't have moons. They just don't have any moons. Earth has one moon, and it's the perfect size for a total eclipse. Because it has to be the right distance from the sun so that it totally blocks out all the sun.
Wait, you said total eclipse.
A total eclipse?
You said total eclipse.
A total solar eclipse is what I... If you smush that all together, you can call it a total eclipse, but people won't know what you're talking about, so don't
say
that.
Total eclipse. It's total eclipse.
A total solar eclipse. The moon is just the right size for it. And the other fact that I read in this article was that, did you know that the moon every year is getting about an inch and a half further away from the Earth?
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Oh, that's cool.
So in about 600 million years, there won't be any more total eclipses because it'll be too far away. It'll be too far away. It won't be able to block out the whole sun.
But that means that...
That's a long ways away, though. I wouldn't worry about it so much.
In 12 years, it'll be one foot away.
A foot further away from the Earth, yeah.
That means that in 12 times 100, in 1,200 years, it would be 100 feet away, and we still won't be able to tell the difference.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure if humanity will go to 1,200 years in the future, so.
So I've got another list here, and this is a list of helpful tips. This came from the internet, from someone named Justin Alva. It looks like it was on Facebook, but I saw this on Twitter, so I don't know the exact source. I tried to find it on Facebook, so I could maybe share it on Facebook, but this is a list that someone named Justin Alva came up with of some helpful tips for the best eclipse viewing experience. The first tip, the people of Tennessee will have the best view, but will also be the first to be sacrificed.
What?
The second tip, animals may behave strangely. If your dog speaks like a man, heed its dire warnings.
What?
The third tip, don't trust the squirrel with a child's face. It only speaks lies.
I have a question.
Is that Maisie?
Yeah, Maisie
squeaking
her
new squeak toy.
Yeah.
Here's his next tip. When your double arrives, resist the inclination to fight it. It may be stronger than you. Chances are it will disappear after the eclipse. Be careful it doesn't switch places. It will be a few decades before you can get the chance to come back.
What? Did you know that even...
What does...
Your double.
What's that?
If you see your double during the eclipse...
What's the double?
Don't try to fight it. It's probably... It might be stronger than you.
What's a double?
And don't let it change places. Yeah, like a doppelganger.
Oh.
So during the eclipse, you know, your double comes out, and then if you switch places with it, you'll get sucked into that other world, and it'll be decades before you can trade places again.
I have the most...
That's good practical advice.
I have the most fascinating fact of all during the eclipse. So during the eclipse, even days before the eclipse happens, even days after the eclipse happens, all of your logical reasoning is lost.
I think that's happened to some people in our family already. The next one, if you stare into the void and it blinks first, you win. But the prize is insanity. This is a really practical tip. I like this next one a lot. Werewolves are not only impossible to kill during an eclipse, they become super werewolves.
Yeah, no. They actually become super squirrels. Like, they're tiny. They're smaller than squirrels, but... They're fearsome.
Hey, I don't know if you're an expert. This guy is an expert, so I'm going to take his word. All right. The next one says, whatever you do, don't buy any weird plants. We don't want a repeat of last time.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Wait. No, it's not buying weird plants that happens. It's... Oh, yeah. But some plants can appear during the eclipse, I think.
Is this next one, and this is very practical, if you think about it. Apophis, the moon serpent, may try to eat you. Let him.
That makes sense. It's happened before to me.
All right. That plants
this is just sort of... This one isn't as practical, but it's something you should know about the eclipse. He says, remember, no matter how salty, your BFF is, the moon still throws the best shade.
Oh!
And the very last tip, the very last helpful tip for viewing the eclipse. Once upon a time, you were falling in love, but now you're only falling apart. There's nothing you can do. This is a different kind of eclipse. And you guys don't know what that is because that's a song lyric from the 80s.
Oh,
but it made Mom laugh really hard. There's a song from the 80s called Total Eclipse of the Heart. And that's like lyrics from the song.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So those are our eclipse facts. All right. Let's do some news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
All right. First story on the news. And we do try to cover all the really important news stories. So there's been some really important news stories that have happened in the past week. Want to make sure we cover them all. This is one of the most important. Truck with 20 tons of Nutella and chocolate vanishes. Police hunt for semis sweets. This is from National Public Radio. They lead the story off by saying, "We now interrupt our regular scheduled coverage to bring you this important public service announcement. Anyone offered large quantities of chocolate via unconventional channels should report it to the police immediately." In Germany, there was more than 20 tons of chocolate treats have gone missing after thieves stole a refrigerator trailer packed with Nutella, Kinder Surprise eggs, and other sweets. All told, the police in Neustadt believe the confection stolen over the weekend would be worth upward of $80,000, according to German newspaper Deutsche Welle.
Whoa.
And a spokesman told local media the perpetrators would have needed a truck of their own, not just a car, to be able to tow such heavy cargo. $80,000 worth of chocolate was stolen. The newspaper notes the chocolates weren't the only treats purloined in Germany this weekend. Another trailer packed with 30 tons of fruit juice disappeared from Wittenberg on Saturday. They also say that Germany is not the only place to have these type of thefts. Austrian police sniffed out, literally, more than 9 tons of stolen garlic stuffed into vans crossing the Hungarian border.
Whoa.
And stateside, I like this story. A guy stole a bakery's delivery truck in New York City and started randomly passing out bread, all while wearing only his underwear.
Oh, no. Not this again.
I am surprised that was New York and that was not Florida guy, because that totally sounds like a Florida man move,
it's
right?
It's better. It's in New York. He has underwear on. Yeah. He's only selling bread.
At least he's wearing underwear. But that sounds like a Florida man move to me, is steal a it truck does. With bread
it's
and
like
start passing
less
it out
It's like the less minor
version
of the one with the money. The bank robbery.
Okay, I'm sorry for people who live in New York, but I feel like that's more likely to happen in New York than Florida.
Maybe.
Well, no. It's more likely to happen in New York or Florida than, like, North Dakota, because, you know, North Dakota doesn't exist.
The only thing about
Plus,
Florida...
Plus, it's too cold to be going around in your underwear. It says... The article also says, earlier this summer, NPR's Lauren Walmsley reports that two members of an alleged Russian crime syndicate were charged with arranging the transport and sale of a whopping 10,000 pounds of stolen chocolate confections to a government informant. So they sold stolen chocolate to a government informant in Russia. The Russian mob did. For now, it says German police are hoping to spread the word about the Nutella theft. If you should happen to come across more than 20 tons of chocolate lying around, the local police spokesman offered a helpful suggestion. I wouldn't throw any of that away. Does anyone else have a story they want to share?
I have one. Saudi singer arrested for, can you guess it? Dabbing.
Excellent.
Says he did it by accident. Saudi TV host, actors... and singer
Let me guess, let me look at the article and guess how you might pronounce this name.
I think it might be Shahani.
Let's see. Abdullah Al Shahani. Who is like a rapper or a singer?
Yeah.
In Saudi Arabia?
And he was arrested for dabbing during a concert in Taif, Saudi Arabia last weekend, according to BBC. Oh, man.
People who dab are just like the cringiest people ever.
So why did they arrest him for dabbing? What does it say?
Okay, it actually makes sense if you think about it.
Does it?
All right, once I explain it, it'll make sense.
Okay.
A Saudi Interior Ministry's National Commission for Combating Drugs recently banned the dance move because they consider it a reference to marijuana.
But it's not, is it? Dabbing's not a reference to marijuana, okay, is it?
But the true problem is people who dab are like the cringiest people ever. I mean, of course, I can joke about it.
Saudi Arabia is very strict about a lot of things, like alcohol and lots of random things, like
dabbing.
Theft. Like, there's very severe consequences for theft. Apparently, dabbing is illegal.
Yeah, because it's referenced to marijuana for some reason.
Because they said they thought it had to do with drugs. I don't think it really has to do with drugs, though.
It's because
I think
some
that's
people
like
can,
a mistake.
Some people can like hide this like snortable marijuana right here.
Oh, that's just silly.
Yeah. No, it's true, though.
People start.
The people like, say that.
Like, I don't know. Dabbing, like the kind that I do, even though it's a year old. Dabbing some weed right there, which is not an okay thing to do, and don't do drugs, kids.
We are kids.
You do, like, hide it like this. I don't know if that's what either that's what started dabbing.
That's not what started it.
But maybe it's just similar.
I don't know. So apparently there is that theory out there that it has to do with drugs a little bit.
It didn't start like that at all.
I thought it was just a move that, like,
doing that.
The first person that I knew about doing it was a football player.
NFL player. It was actually created by this
Cameron.
This rapper.
I can't think of his last name. The quarterback for the Carolina Panthers.
Well,
he started dabbing every time he scored a
goal. Every time he scored a touchdown, he would do it.
It's thought to be started by a rapper, but
it was.
Well, no, that's just a theory. Like, no one
that
really
was actually started by a rapper.
I don't know. I think it's just one of those things everybody starts doing, and then it just becomes a thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What?
But eventually, people started dabbing.
So, whether
weed.
It has to do with drugs or not, it's illegal in Saudi Arabia, and I think we should pass a law here to make it illegal.
Yeah.
Because
so, when you guys do it, I can
dab.
Have you put in jail.
Dab. Anyways.
That's
be
why
careful.
I prefer the whip. No, I hate saying
anyways, the commission warns people about the dangers of this move on youth and society and is warning against intimidating for BBC's translation. He apologized on Twitter on Tuesday, saying it was an accident in writing via BBC. I apologize to our respected government and to my audience for unintentionally and spontaneously making the dance move at the TAFE Festival. Please accept my apology.
So he says he just spontaneously did it. He didn't mean to do it. So hopefully he's out of jail, because I'd hate to think someone was in jail a long time just for dabbing. Although I do kind of like the idea of making it illegal, because I think it's just gone on so long.
Yeah,
but I was kind of...
It's too cringy.
I've kind of been enjoying...
It's a bit cringy, yeah.
Dab.
I've kind of been enjoying playing Minecraft while dabbing with fidget spinners.
Yeah.
Minecraft has...
William?
We've sailed that ship.
Do you have a news story?
Oh, yeah.
Fidget spinners are dead. Minecraft is dead.
You guys still play it, though.
That's true.
Yeah, but now...
All right, what's your story, William?
Now people are like, you should play Minecraft. Cheetos to open Spotted Cheetah pop-up restaurant in New York.
This is a sign of the end of the world.
What does it mean?
There's going to be a restaurant where everything they serve... I'll let William tell the story, but everything they serve has to do with Cheetos.
No. Okay.
Cheetos is bringing Cheetos is bringing a restaurant full of dishes inspired by the crunchy cheese puff snacks to New York for a weekend. The Spotted Cheetah restaurant will serve Cheetos infused dishes crafted by celebrity chef Anne Burrell.
She keeps doing her squeak toy, sorry.
Where the accent is on that word. But from
that sounds right, Burrell.
From August 15th to August 17th. As long as I'm a Cheetos fan, I'm thrilled to join forces with a snack brand that is truly an iconic American staple, Burrell said. I had so much fun creating this specially crafted, one-of-a-kind menu for the first Cheetos restaurant. I can't wait to see the guests' reactions. The specially curated three-course menu transforms Cheetah's products, such as cheesy Flamin' Hot, white cheddar, and sweetos layered snacks into new dishes, including fried green tomatoes, chicken Milanese, and Sweetos crusted cheesecake.
Cheetos crusted cheesecake?
This is the end of humanity as we know it.
That's pretty crazy. So everything on the menu says some way incorporates Cheetos.
Why couldn't they open up a Fritos store? Fritos? Okay. I could get into a whole argument about how amazing and underrated Fritos are. But yeah. But I'm not.
Also, I think this might be the end of the world because, let's see, a Cheetos restaurant just dedicated to Cheetos, fidget spinners, dabbing,
yep,
and cringe compilations.
Ryan Matti, wow, senior director of marketing Frito-Lay, said many of the dishes were inspired by meals concocted by creative fans. Once again, our fans have inspired us with their creativity and playfulness. We've seen their love for Cheetos exhibited through these innovative dishes, desserts, and beverages, which motivate us to create a restaurant that will bring a full Cheetos culinary experience to life, he said.
Beverages?
Meal prices range from $8 to $22, and potential guests can reserve...
Cheetos beverages? Is that what it said?
It said beverages in it.
Did it say beverages, William?
Desserts and beverages. Like a Sweetos soda?
Sweetos? Is that a thing?
I don't know. It was just in the article.
Okay.
Meal prices range from $8 to $22, and potential guests can reserve a spot through Open Table by visiting the restaurant's website.
Wait, how much? You said $8 to how much?
$22.
To $22. Okay, I thought you said $100. I was like, wow, that's an expensive Cheetos meal.
So $8 to $22. Cheap. A digital cookbook featuring all the Spotted Cheetah recipes will be made available online to coincide with the restaurant's opening.
The Spotted Cheetah. So you know what a pop-up restaurant is? Or a pop-up shop? It's like when it's just temporary. So they do this in New York a lot, where it's just like a temporary. It's not going to be there forever. They just sort of build it like on Times Square or something. And people can visit it for a little while. So there's going to be a pop-up restaurant called the Spotted Cheetah.
Okay, I thought this was going
to
be...
If we were in New York, would you want to go there?
Yes, just to try it out. Treat yourself.
I would try it out.
That would be like a pretty awesome treat yourself.
Yes.
Like a whole treat yourself meal of Cheeto food.
I would try that out and boycott the...
Frito-Lay. You boycott Frito-Lay.
No, I would go to try that out and not go to try out the cookie dough place.
Oh, the raw cookie dough place?
Okay, I boycott the raw cookie dough place, so...
But...
I would try it, though.
Just to try it, like...
I mean, if someone else bought it, then I would maybe ask for a bite, or if they said, do you want a bite? I'd say, sure. But... no. Zupas.
Doing some mazy management. That's why you keep hearing the door open and close. The squeak toy was getting to me. I was hearing it too much on the headphones, so I had to put her outside and then hide the squeak toy. Now she's looking around for it.
Yeah, one time...
Crazy mazy.
One time I was throwing around the squeak toy, and then I was like, I've been doing this for so long. I'm so sick of it. So instead of just letting her, like, just not care about it anymore, I put it on top of the table... And she just stared at it for like a half an hour because she knew exactly where it was.
Now she's looking at me like, what did you do with my favorite toy?
What did you do?
All right, one more story. And this is a follow-up on the story we did last week on the podcast.
Oh, no.
A very important update. So last week we talked about the semifinals for the Big Tex Choice Award at the Texas State Fair. So the food that's going to be in the competition for the Texas State Fair. Now we have, and I have in my hand... the finalists for the Texas State Fair. And what's better about this list? So the last time all we had was what they were called. The semifinalists, they actually tell you what they are. So these are the foods that made it to the final round. So these are the ones that will actually be sold at the Texas State Fair. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
It's sort of like a drum roll.
What was that drum? Well, we can do an actual drum roll.
Whatever.
Hey, drummer. I think there are 10 of these. The first one, deep fried chicken noodle soup on a stick.
It might actually be good.
I think I gave that one a thumbs down, but here's how they describe it. Home-style, perfectly spiced chicken noodle soup is deep fried and served on a stick. Each bite-sized ball will have an indentation for a spoon of savory broth sauce to complete the harmony of the best chicken noodle soup you've ever had, and certainly the first on a stick.
That actually
each dish
sounds good.
Is served with a side of crackers.
Okay, best case scenario.
I'm still questionable about that one. I don't know if that's a good idea or
okay,
not.
Okay, best case good. Scenario could become like better than the balls of
barbecue.
Yeah. It could become like better than that.
I liked the great balls of barbecue. Did you like that?
They're good.
Yes. Or it could become like the cookie fries with chocolate dip, which could have been so much better, but no.
So last year we actually did the podcast from the State Fair and tried the foods. I don't know if we'll do it this year or not. We'll have to see how it works out.
Yeah.
The next one, deep fried Fruit Loops.
Okay.
And this one, now I speculate, because we didn't have the descriptions then, I speculated that it wouldn't be like individual Fruit Loops, but they'd probably have to like mix them with marshmallow. Guess what?
They mix them with marshmallow.
I was exactly right. It says, a classic cereal with a State Fair twist. Sweetened Fruit Loops are folded into whipped marshmallow, dipped in a creamy batter, fried to golden brown, and then topped with a drizzle of glazed and powdered sugar.
Sounds awesome.
Breakfast cereal just got better. That does sound pretty good, I think.
I feel like it's going to be like those fried Jell-O, where it's literally just like a ball of fried stuff, and there's like a tiny bit of jam
in it. I
thought
the fried Jell-O was about the worst. That one was a total dud. Although I think that like won. I think that was the winner, but it wasn't good.
Well, it was good. Right. It just had nothing to do with Jell-O.
Yeah.
It's like a tiny bit of Jell-O, and the rest is just like fried stuff.
Here is the one that I thought was sounded the worst. Fat Smooth. But when I read the description, it actually sounds awesome. So here's what Fat Smooth is. Three delicious Belgium mini cream puffs on a skewer are dipped into Café du Monde beignet batter. They are then fried until golden brown, dusted in powdered sugar, and drizzled with a chocolate and caramel sauce.
Oh, that sounds
so... take mini cream puffs, dip them in batter, fry them, and then put caramel and chocolate sauce on them.
Perfection right there.
That sounds like... I feel like I could walk in or go to the State Fair waiting to eat that and come back with type 2 diabetes, and I want to eat it.
I'd have
probably
type 8 diabetes by then. That
probably
means
why they
really
call
bad
it fat
type
smooth.
2.
It does yeah. sound... It sounds pretty good. I got to say, that one actually does sound really good. All right, and then the fried Texas sheet cake made it, which Phoebe was excited about. And that is basically,
that
you take sheet cake, and then you coat it in Cocoa Puffs, panko, and cinnamon sugar. You know what panko
yes.
is, like Japanese breadcrumbs?
Yes.
And then the coated brownie is fried, giving it an ooey-gooey molten center with a crunchy outside.
But make me hungry.
Really
that sounds
and
pretty awesome.
Texas sheet cake might be like...
And
okay.
then the cake is served with chopped Texas pecans, a dollop of whipped cream, and garnished with a fresh strawberry.
Okay, actually, it's really hard for me to pick my favorite, but Texas sheet cake is really good.
Yeah, fried Texas sheet cake. I'm surprised that's never been done before. That seems really obvious, but that sounds awesome. Another one that made the finals list, funnel cake bacon queso burger. And this was also a one that I... questioned.
The heck?
They begin with two funnel cakes that are fried to a golden crunch, aka buns. The first funnel bun is topped with a juicy, fresh grilled burger patty, a heaping helping of crispy bacon and gooey queso. It is completed with another funnel bun and generously dusted with powdered sugar.
What?
That sounds disgusting. I'm sorry.
This ruined
Not only
the
does it
perfect
sound disgusting,
savory thing.
But it sounds like it's about 1 week's worth of the calories you should be eating.
But
like
is it on a stick?
No, it's like in a bun. So you get like one bun that's a funnel cake, then you put a burger on it and queso on that, and then you put another funnel cake on top of that,
and then you ruin it with powdered sugar. Always. It's always got to be powdered sugar, even if it ruins it.
Powdered sugar with a burger sounds gross to me. I mean, some things you can have salty and savory, or sweet and salty at the same time, but burgers, that's just kind of gross. The next one, Gulf Coast Fishbowl. This is interesting because I thought this was just some sort of like seafood dish, but here's what it actually is. It says it's a whimsical beverage featuring all the flavors of your favorite tropical coast with a kick. Your drinkable aquarium begins with Nerds Candy Gravel. Next, the drink is iced and filled with a specially formulated blue alcoholic punch. Swedish fish swim through the ice while a pineapple slice serves as the lid. Each sip brings a stream of crunchy candy and tropical punch up the straw, causing a flavor explosion that transports you beachside with every sip. That sounds kind of gross.
Not only that, but it's also alcoholic.
So we're not going to drink it because we don't drink.
Because I was like, wait, that sounds kind of gross.
I'm not on board with that.
I was like, wait, did I hear alcoholic or did I hear non-alcoholic?
So it's basically like one of those fruity alcoholic drinks, but it's got like candy in it. It sounds gross. All right. Pinot Noir popcorn is kettle corn that's dusted with Pinot Noir burgundy wine powder. The wine-flavored popcorn is paired with savory cheddar cheese flavors to give you the perfect balance of sweet and savory. That actually sounds pretty good. And it because it's powder, it's not really alcoholic, so it's not like you could drink it and get drunk.
Wait, what? That might be good.
So it's like wine powder, and then it's also some of the popcorn is cheesy flavored. I'd be willing to try that one.
But I feel
that sounds good.
I just like kettle corn that's like kind of sweet, and I feel like that would kind of ruin it.
Maybe. I don't know. I'd have to try it and see. There are three more that made the finals list. Surf and Turf and Tater Boat this sounds good. Succulent lobster meat is marinated in lemon herb butter and partnered with a seasoned steak that is grilled to perfection. Both are topped with a cheddar and Romano cheeses after being stuffed into a piping hot baked potato with roasted garlic butter melted inside. It's topped off with a single Empress cut lobster claw and a side of lemon butter for dipping. That sounds delicious, but it also sounds really expensive.
Like, yeah.
It's got lobster and steak, and it's in a baked potato.
And you top it with a lobster claw.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
It seems like there'd be like a lobster drowning lobster? In it.
Like, have you ever had lobster? No, I haven't. It tastes kind of like crab. You ever had crab?
I've had crab.
California rolls?
Okay,
crawfish.
I've had
California you had crawfish.
Yes, I like crawfish.
It's like crawfish, except like maybe four times as good. Like,
okay.
Crawfish is like poor man's lobster.
The only thing close to that I've had is like that crab filling that they put in
California rolls.
Yeah, that they put in
that,
sushi.
That's actual crab.
That Surf and Turf and Tater Boat sounds ridiculously good, and it sounds
but it also
like they used all these expensive ingredients to make it. Also what?
It also sounds like you after eating it, it's packed with fat.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
All of these sound like way more than you should ever eat in a day, let alone one meal.
So in other words, they sound very Texan.
Yep. They sound very State Fair of Texas. All right, mm-hmm. Two more. Texas fajita fries are tenderly breaded deep-fried beef fajita strips, are seasoned with sriracha spice mix, and stuffed into a bread cone. Presented on a bed of Texas toothpicks, fried onions, and jalapenos with a side of pico de gallo and a cool yet spicy sour cream guacamole hot sauce. Texas fajita fries can be enjoyed as a sandwich or individually like French fries. I'm not sure I understand the concept there, but it does sound really good. It's a lot of fried stuff, yeah. A lot of good stuff.
At first, good. I kind of knew what you were talking about, and then I was just like, okay, I give up.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to picture. I'd almost have to see it.
Yeah, that was so fatty that in the middle of it, I just dozed off and it's like, wait, what are you saying again?
Maybe it's fatty. It's just there's too many things going on.
There's a lot of stuff going on with that one.
Yeah.
And then the very last one is the tamale donut. And this one also, I gave it a thumbs down when I heard just the name. But here's what it is. It is the traditional tamale turned into a not-so-traditional donut. Our classic pork tamale donut starts with slow-cooked pork carnitas blended with authentic made-from-scratch masa. Each dish is hand-formed into a donut shape and fried until crispy on the outside and soft on the inside. The classic pork tamale donut is finished off with a drizzle of homemade creamy jalapeno salsa. So I guess what they do is what a tomato looks like, a tamale is like a tube, right?
Yeah.
It's got the corn stuff on the outside and it's got the meat on the inside. They did that except they sort of make it into a circle like a donut and fry it. I think that could be good.
So it's really good.
I would try that. That actually sounds really tasty.
By the way, something so like about donuts.
So it's savory. They're not trying to make it like a sweet donut.
Okay, something about donuts is when you hear like fried dough, you're like, oh, that sounds gross. But when you hear donuts, you're like, yay, donuts.
Yeah. I'm glad that it wasn't like a sweet donut that they put some tamales on. That would be gross. I don't like it when they do that. But this is actually, it's like a tamale that they just shape like a donut and fry it. I could definitely try that one. I think that one sounds pretty good. So that is our news. Do you guys want to do a really quick round of one word story?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Let's
do it.
One word story.
That's pretty cringy, but I like it.
Okay,
anyway.
That's the outro.
We need a new drop.
One word story.
That's the outro.
I think we need a new drop.
One word story.
Do you want to try it again?
The outro is one word story.
Or maybe you can do a rap version, a hip hop version.
Can't we just? No, I refuse to be a part of this.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
so this,
we should make the new drop just...
Let's do one-word story the way we used to do it. So the way we used to one-word story was everyone writes down a noun. My noun is octopus. What's your noun, William?
Cyborg.
Okay. What's yours, Henry?
You're probably going to guess it. Unicorn.
All right. A verb.
What's yours?
Let's see. My verb is... escapes, or it could be escaped, or you know, any version of escape.
Mine is vomits.
You
dabs.
Ugh, that's worse. Adjective. I'm going to say ugly.
Does Florida count as one? As in like Florida man?
No, that's a noun. Florida's a noun. Dang. I guess you could use it as an adjective if it's like Florida man. But let's do something else, like an actual adjective.
Cringy. It makes sense because it's like. My three words make cringy dabbing unicorn.
William, you have an adjective?
Incredible.
Okay. And an adverb. Mine will be slowly.
Mine is sort of passive aggressive because I hate when people use good instead of this word as well. Good is not an adverb. Well is an adverb.
All right. So your adverb is well?
Yes.
Mine is...
Congratulations for not doing an L-Y adverb. That's impressive.
Mine ends in E-D, panicked.
That would be an adjective. Most adverbs do end in L-Y.
I guess.
What would the adverb version of that be? Like panically?
I don't know if that's an actual word.
Panically?
It can be anything. It doesn't have to be a crazy word. It's the first adverb that comes to your mind.
Happily.
All right. Let's start. We'll go around. It'll be me and then William and then Henry and then back to me, okay? All right, once
there
was
an a
cyborg
that
escaped
from
cringy
school.
He
was
very,
very.
Hey, you can't use very twice in a row. That's
very
cheap.
He can use very twice.
Just got to say the first thing that comes to mind.
Cringy. I already used that one.
Say something else.
Annoying.
So
he
dabs.
Slowly.
It
is
ugly.
So
he
decided
to
eat
something
incredible.
Like
State of
unicorn. Can I do that? Can I please do that?
Sure.
Okay.
Fair.
State of unicorn fair? That makes sense.
Yeah.
That
well worded, maybe? Yep. Like
worded, okay.
Henry, not all your words have to be really descriptive. It can just be like
just think of the first word to come. When you've got all your words, raise your hand. Okay. What was your last word? We gotta keep this flowing.
Are
you
really,
really
strange?
Or
are
you
just
weird?
Like
really
weird.
Ask
unicorns.
Then
the
cyborg
dabbed
octopuses
happily
after
ever.
Okay,
happily
I think that's
the end.
Wait, no.
Did you get all your words?
Happily no. After ever.
All right, well, let's keep going until you get all your words.
Cyborg
decided
that
eating
weird
foods
wasn't
exactly
what
he
had
in
mind.
Then
he
vomits
on
the
unicorns.
Then
the end.
Okay. But wait, that's a cliffhanger.
Then the end. There you go.
And you know what that is?
One word story.
That is one word story. That's how it's done. That was even weirder than the last time we did it. All right. So we only have one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Okay, so for treat yourself today, we have something that William's been asking to do. We have some Pepsi Fire. We also have something else. We'll do Pepsi Fire and one other thing.
Oh, we have something
One
else?
Other kind of candy that sort of relates to that. Are you guys okay with doing Pepsi Fire and candy?
Sure.
Yeah, as long as it's Pop Rocks.
Okay.
Pop Rocks.
So, it's not Pop Rocks. It is Pepsi Fire and... let me go get it, and I'll tell you exactly what it is. And I'm a little afraid this might have melted a little bit in my car, because I bought it at lunch and then left it in my car in the parking garage. But it is Butterfinger Peanut Butter Cups, limited edition, smoking hot. Smoking hot Butterfinger Peanut Butter Cups. Have you ever had... Butterfinger peanut butter cups?
No.
I've had Butterfingers.
Yeah, I think I've had these before, but I've never had the Smokin' Hot limited edition. So these are Butterfinger peanut butter cups, and we're going to try it along with...
Pepsi Fire.
Pepsi Fire.
Which is actually sort of red.
Here, hand it to me.
Okay, Butterfingers are like my favorite candy bar ever.
To Instagram and to Twitter and maybe even Facebook.
Pepsi Fire is oddly red.
Smoking hot Butterfinger cups.
Butterfingers are my favorite candy bar, so I really hope these don't turn out bad. I don't get how, no matter what brand ever, treat yourself was always, almost never what you expect.
Yeah, and that's Japanese,
like,
which is
no matter
what
brand
expect.
It is.
It's Asian, that's usually what I expect. It's weird.
Sometimes that's bad, and sometimes that's good.
Yeah. Like tomato mint candies.
All right, so let's try. What do you want to try first? Do you want to try the Pepsi Fire, or do you want to try the Butterfinger Peanut Butter Cup Smokin' Hot Limited Edition?
Pepsi Fire.
Yeah, Pepsi Fire, it can like get out of your mouth more easily.
Yeah.
So
it's oddly red. Right. I already said that.
So I know, William, you've actually tried this before. Henry, have you tried it before?
No.
Yeah, me and my friends in church have this, like... we get together and do something like at one of our houses every week. And
it is very red. I'm holding it up to the light, and I'm going to take a picture of what it looks like up to the light.
Yeah.
So you can tell how red it is.
But where were we at one friend's house?
So William, smile. All right.
Where were we at one friend's house? Someone had Pepsi Fire.
Yeah.
And I can't exactly remember how it tasted, which is probably good. Because like, I didn't want to have too much caffeine, so I only had like half the bottle.
It's late right now. We're doing this right before bed, so...
Whatever.
So we'll just sample it.
Yeah, let's just sample it. Don't take a ton, or you'll be up all night.
I've got a plastic bottle. It's a 20-ounce bottle of Pepsi Fire here. Did someone open this already?
I didn't.
Maybe I did.
Not
I
me.
Don't know.
We've got to do the one drop
a little
with
bit.
That.
Oh, yeah. Let's.
Yeah,
do
I was going to mention that, but I didn't know.
Here's a drop we do when we ever have soda on Treat Yourself. From an actual root beer that we did earlier.
As long as you know what it is, it's
so satisfying.
Cider.
It was cider.
All right, I'm going to give everybody just about, I don't know.
You said it was root beer and it was cider.
An ounce or two. Passing it over.
Thank you.
This is Pepsi Fire. And it says on the bottle, Pepsi Fire cinnamon flavored cola.
Oh, it smells like
with
candy.
With natural and artificial cinnamon flavor.
It smells like candy. Smell it.
It does. You can definitely smell the cinnamon. It tastes like a cinnamon bear or like Red Hots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just less of a taste, slightly less.
And a little bit gingery. Can you taste a little bit of ginger in there, kind of like a ginger flavor?
Yeah.
Like those spicy ginger ales. Cinnamon and ginger, I think.
Overall, it's sort of on the lower end of Delicioso.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
Yeah, I'm sort of wavering between... okay and Delicioso. I don't know if I would drink a whole bottle of this, but I do kind of think it is.
Yum, 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 Delicioso!
And I will say I prefer it to regular Pepsi because I'm not really a big Pepsi fan, but it's not bad.
Yeah, I never really had that huge of a problem
it's
with
making
Pepsi.
Me cough.
But I feel like
it burns my throat. It is like ginger ale.
Because I kind of like fire, got used to it and like knew what the flavor tasted
but
like.
It's kind of good.
I feel like once I kind of got like acquired to it, I would drink it.
I like I like that it's got a little bite to it. I like that it's, you know, I don't know, like.
Kind of like that kind of gingery.
I like the cinnamon along with the ginger. It makes it.
It makes it like actual like fire flavor, not just like cinnamon or ginger. It's just both. And it's just fire flavor.
Do you think
not like peppery in a weird way, but it still keeps it kind of sweet. It's awesome.
Do you think Mom would be willing to try it?
I don't know.
Hopefully.
All right, let's try the Butterfinger peanut butter cups. And these did, in fact, get melted, as you can see. They got melted in my car, so...
Oh, that makes sense.
I'm apologizing to the Butterfinger company right now. Who makes it? Nestle? Nestle makes Butterfinger. Apologizing to the Nestle company if we're not giving their candy a fair shake.
Sorry, Nestle.
But it looks like it's still... It's not totally, you know, unsalvageable. I'm going to give you each a half a peanut butter cup. How about that?
Okay.
All right, I'm going to mute the mic so we don't chew into the mic.
Wait, can I read the wrapper?
Here. Before it melts in my hand. All right. Muting. What do you think, Henry?
I think it just gets more and more disappointing. Like, at first, like, it's just regular Butterfinger. It's kind of disappointing. And it's like, it's got that weird tang to it. And it's
kind of like a peanut butter cup with a little crunchies of Butterfinger in it.
But then the aftertaste, like, it's burning, but in that gross way.
I don't really taste the smoke
but
and
it
hot
burns
flavor.
Your
I don't taste
yeah, throat.
There's not much burn to it. I don't
very
think.
Subtle.
Yeah, but you have to wait for a while.
Oh, really? You're getting a slow burn.
Yeah, a
I
very
mean, like
slow
a
burn.
Tiny bit, but not very much.
I feel like Butterfingers would be really hard to make variations of. Like maybe they might have already done this. Like maybe Butterfinger bites, but I feel like that's kind of it.
There's one that they make that's kind of like a wafer cookie, kind of like a Kit Kat, but it's Butterfinger. That
okay,
one's pretty good.
Okay, that sounds good.
I can
that one's pretty good. But this one,
I
mean, the Butterfinger peanut butter
and
cups are fine, but there's not much smoking hot flavor to it at all. Maybe I'm comparing it to the Pepsi that we just tried, but it just kind of tastes like peanut butter to me.
It has like gross or spicy thing to me where it just burns my throat, it doesn't burn my tongue, and it just kind of tastes gross.
What do you think, Henry?
Is that... It starts out very disappointing, then gets more disappointing, then gets very, very, very disappointing.
So using,
I think gross.
You're going to say gross?
Ew. Seriously?
That is so gross.
Gross.
What about you, William?
I'd say meh.
Meh. M-E-H. Meh.
I'm like maybe between meh and okay, but
and
I'd
I'm going to give it an okay because it's still candy. It's still chocolate and peanut butter. Not much hot in the supposedly smoking hot, but... I'd still eat it, so I'm going to give it an okay. I'm not going to give it delicious, which is what you'd expect for a peanut butter cup. I'm going to give it an okay, so. Okay. All right. So that is our podcast. Thank you, boys, for participating. That was a fun podcast. We covered lots and lots of topics.
I was going to say something about the peanut butter cups.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I kept on thinking of ways to improve that, and that's when I realized that the best improvement for that would just be a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Yeah, chocolate and peanut butter all by themselves is not that bad and not really something you need to improve on, right?
Yeah.
Right. So that is our podcast. So thank you guys for participating, William, Henry.
Dr.
Thank
Pepper
you.
Sponsor
anyone
us.
Who's listening, thank you. If you are listening, let us know. I know that there are a few people who have started listening recently. I would be very interested in what you think, especially if you think anything good. If you think something bad about it, well, that's fine. You can listen to some other podcast.
But don't rate us.
If you do like us, go rate us. You can subscribe, rate, and review us. If you give us 5-star reviews, those help us out a lot, especially on iTunes.
Yes.
Because they make it available, make it so that iTunes might give us a little more attention and other people might find the podcast.
Also, if you're not going to give us 5 stars, then go listen to another podcast, except don't.
5 stars is our favorite rating, and those really do help. Thank you to everyone who's helped us with the podcast. Thank you if you tweet us or retweet us on Twitter. We appreciate that. So you can reach out to us on Twitter if you want to tweet us or engage with us on Twitter. We're at TTD Podcast. We are at Talk to Dad Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. If you want to email us, we're at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is talktodadpodcast.com, where you can find all of the episodes going back to the very first episode when we didn't know what the heck we were doing. This has been a lot of fun. I'd also like to thank the Foxy Morons, the band that allowed us to use their music for our intro and outro music. This has been a lot of fun, and we'll see you later. There's time for later. I regret.